Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Habitcast. I'm Mike Sutton, President and CEO of Habitat for Humanity, and I am joined by Morgan Burchetti, our Chief External Relations Officer at Habitat for Humanity. I almost said the wrong title.
Almost
said Chief Marketing Officer, which is basically what you do too. But Morgan, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm ready for the holidays.
Yep, right around the corner.
We should have decorated. We should put some like Christmas garland
we can do
up
it in and post.
Yeah. Chris, can you add that in?
We want some like jingle bells like above here?
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I would have wore like a Santa hat and everything. Yeah, could have been fun.
Let's reshoot this.
There's always next year.
Next year.
But well, it's a busy time of the year.
Yes, it is. We have had, I think I sent a release out about a week and a half ago to all of our media contacts. We had 11 home dedications, and before the end of the year, we will be serving that many families before the end of the year.
Wow. Well, in the month of November, we had 8.
Yeah. And lots of doubles and a triple. Like, we had a lot going on.
So I got to tell you, I want to selfishly talk about this because you know that a home dedication we did just this past week in Clearwater was the 500th home dedication since I've been here,
wow.
Right, at Habitat.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
I thought I told you that. So it was the 500th home. So I started, we dedicated house 280, and then we just dedicated house 780. And so I've been reflecting a lot, right? And, you know, not to sound cheesy or corny or anything, but it's really kind of given me this whole different look about, and I've always thought this way, but every single family has its own unique story,
yep.
Right? In terms of how they got to have
their journey. Yep.
And I've spent a lot of time over the last week or so. We've had a number of dedications. Every single one of those just kind of really, I don't know, kind of giving thanks in my own mind about the fact that, you know, we've had these opportunities through our community to serve these families,
right.
To change lives, to impact their lives.
And future generations.
Yeah. And it's just every time we have a home dedication, it just kind of is such a solid in-person reminder of, you know, the challenges people are living mm-hmm. with.
And how they overcome them.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with inflation and what we're seeing with rising rent costs. And although, you know, interest rates are going up, which is slowing down real estate, we're not seeing the prices come down. So, and, you know, a lot of what I read is that we may not see that in our area, but it's been so much fun. And, you know, as we approach the holidays, I think it gives us all opportunity to reflect on things, right?
Yeah,
so with so many home dedications coming up in the month of December, you know, we're in the month of December, but we have a bunch of dedications, I think 8 or 9. And, you know, what's cool is the majority of those families will be in their home for Christmas, spending that first Christmas in their home and kind of opening a whole new chapter of life. So
new memories.
Well, today, we have our good friend, Ian Anderson
yeah.
from the Tampa Bay Business Journal. We're going to talk to him a little bit about a great partnership between both mm-hmm. organizations. You know, the Business Journal has been, you know, kind of the standard in our community for many, many years of pushing out business information.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of people reading this get their daily, you know, their morning and afternoon newsletter.
Yep.
You know, you get that printed copy every Friday. And they've been a great friend of ours dating back many years, even before Ian was with them.
Mm-hmm.
Although he was with them years and years ago.
Yeah.
As well. But, you know, they do a lot to cover us. You know, we've been the recipient of their Nonprofit of the Year Award, which is now One Tampa Bay Award. You know, we've received that many, many times.
You're on the top 100 list the past 2 years in a row.
Yeah, yeah. That's been fun. Very, very cool group to be associated
mm-hmm.
with. I always joke that they got to 99 and they pulled a name out of a hat and I won.
It's well-deserved.
Oh, thanks. And then we jumped behind the 40 Under 40
yep.
Awards, and which is kind of a unique opportunity. You don't see a lot of nonprofits do
right.
things like this, but for us, we really felt like, you know, from a business standpoint, it was a great opportunity to get in front of 40 up and comers in our
yep.
community, people that are moving and advancing their companies, who are making an impact,
mm-hmm.
And who, you know, knock on wood, they stay here in the Tampa Bay region
right.
and help advance the community.
Yes.
So that group, we've gotten to know over the last few months through just some engagement as the presenting sponsor in the 40 Under 40 Awards.
Yeah, I think it was really cool that we were able to come up with that strategic kind of plan with Ian and his team to really figure out how to engage them with Habitat. So not just having our logo on something or, you know, being the MC of their 40 Under 40 event like you did so well. But we
also... I was really sick that night.
Too. Yeah, I know. But I heard you did fantastic.
I did use the script. So
here we go. Yeah. On time, and I wasn't there. Okay.
I know.
I didn't write it. That's fine. So we had this opportunity for the 40 Under 40 class this year, so the class of 2022, to come out to a build site.
Yeah.
And actually meet some Habitat homeowners. And when you kicked off the day, there were lots of folks who had never either volunteered with Habitat in general or didn't realize the full breadth of the program. It was pretty impressive to see the amount of interest and engagement all throughout the day and the networking that was going on too.
Yeah.
There were lots of times where I was watching people move like mounds of dirt and like shaking hands like, oh, hey, because they hadn't had a chance to network quite yet. So it was a really cool opportunity.
Yeah. Well, we had the two homeowners that were, you know, India and Eyelid that live next door to each other out there.
Yeah.
And we had an opportunity to break down a lot of misconceptions about our program, but arm those folks that were out there. Mm-hmm. And we had, you know, over 50% of the honorees that came out that day. We armed them with the information about us that hopefully will spread. Right. And so, you know, it was such a fun day, beautiful weather and a good time. So we'll talk to Ian a little bit about the Business Journal, you know, his role there and, you know, what brought him back to Tampa Bay and all that good stuff.
Awesome.
So he's been back, I think, since 2018, but, good stuff. So yeah, let's talk to Ian. Ian, thanks for being with us today. Really appreciate you taking time to just chat a little bit about the Business Journal, Habitat, how we're able to work together, and all the good stuff going on in the community.
Well, it's good to be. I mean, you're the media guy now. This is your podcast. This is great. The tables have turned. So usually, I'm asking questions and kind of leading these things. So it'll be nice to be on this side of the table.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about just before we started, you know, that, you know, Morgan and I kind of came up with the idea of doing these podcasts coming out of COVID. And I'm sure you see a lot of that in the community where folks are trying to reinvent themselves or stay relevant in kind of a different environment, even though we're, you know, we kind of joke COVID's way behind us now, right? But it's changed the way that we've done a lot of things. And I'm sure at the Business Journal, you see a lot of that.
Yeah. You know, I think accessibility, I mean, so the way that I think what we kind of saw during COVID is, the media consumption, just the amount that folks were reading or consuming or listening to or podcasts or documentaries, it just went through the roof, right?
Yeah.
Because now it's... there was a lot of found time, right? Because you're not commuting.
Yeah.
But also, I think, especially with, you know, with podcasts, and not all of them were in person, but you saw a lot of these where you could take a Zoom, you know, you have a high powered mic and you've got a couple laptops and you can do a Zoom interview. And all of a sudden you've got access to, you know, maybe there's a CEO in Miami or in Nashville or in Dallas, and you can have these really interesting conversations and broadcast them out. So I think a lot of us saw had light bulb moments where we saw the capabilities of the remote work environment.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't any different than that. But I think the number of podcasts or the number of simulcasts, and I think that went through the roof. I think you saw the pendulum go really far where anybody with with an iPhone would be creating content.
Yeah.
And good. Some great content and then some really bad content. I mean, how many virtual events did we go to? And there was a whole spectrum of those. So I think you saw kind of the rush to quantity, and just because they had capability, they would do it. And now you kind of start seeing these things that are more produced, quality, you know, really informative speakers, and valuable content. And I think that, I think we've learned a lot coming out of it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I think we're going to take some of the good things with us and leave a lot of the things that we never want to do again and leave those back in the pandemic.
Well, I know for us at Habitat, a light bulb went off for us that we do these home dedications, right? So, you know, we built 67 homes last year. We'll do 70 this year. And every single one of those home celebrations is a tangible experience of seeing the cycle of poverty broke for a family, right? And so we hand over those keys. And we realized we don't do anything to push this out and to share this experience with folks. And that content for us coming out of COVID was, how do we push this out into the community? And so, you know, we brought Chris on board, who, you know, we talk about all the time when we do our podcast. But, you know, his experience and background, you know, in media has really helped us to elevate that. And then what we end up doing is not only do we push out the actual live dedication, so people that can't be there in person can watch it online. We also then take clips and put it together for donors and volunteers. And so there's just so much information that you can share and so much that you can push out. And for an organization like us, it helps break down misconceptions about the work we do.
You know, I think it's what at its core, it's storytelling.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And you're telling stories. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are, I mean, just the with the 40 Under 40 partnership, I mean, seeing the being able to tell a story in a compelling and informative, but also like a heartfelt way. I mean, mm-hmm. that's something that, you know, watching that kind of resonate on all the social media platforms, yeah. or watching folks, you know, just share it to their own networks. And especially, you know, when you've got for 40 Under 40, where they all have their own influential networks.
Yeah.
Like, so watching that kind of resonate was, it was really special, but I think it's, the content has to be good. Like, it has to be produced.
Yeah,
it has to be good content. And that's where I think that kind of momentum towards, you know, folks are realizing they need to invest. If they're going to be putting stories out and telling stories, then they need to be doing it in a quality way. And I think you guys have that, from the sizzle reels to the build days to the dedications, just a really, really intentional and just high quality.
Well, thanks for saying that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the 40 under 40.
Cause
I, you know, that was a concept that, you know, we kind of batted around a little bit, and we joked at the dinner, where we celebrated all 40 folks about how, you know, I had received the honor back in 2009, 2010. And what's funny about that is there was no social media. I mean, we had some LinkedIn.
Yeah.
MySpace was probably still,
you know,
coming down from their high.
Sure.
Facebook, I don't know, had taken off that great yet. But now it's completely different, right? So being able to push out that information and stuff. But, you know, when you guys are, you all put on some pretty awesome events, you know, between the Business Women of the Year and I think 40 Under 40 is your premier event now. But like, how do you, when you're looking for partners, on these events, like what are you all looking for? How do you, cause I'm sure there's some businesses that, you know, you probably just wouldn't necessarily want, you know, associated with a big event like this, right? So,
Well, I mean, I think with anything, it needs to make sense. So I think what we did, I got here early 2018, we pared back on, I think the Business Journal was doing at that point, like 30 something events a year.
Wow.
Like, I mean, we're doing a lot of events. So really paring back the quantity of events and really kind of being intentional about what do we want people to feel at our events, and what do we want the honoree experience to be like, the person that's being recognized, and what's kind of what's the bar for that? You know, I mean, is it quantity? How many, is it a ton of honorees, or is it really, you know, fewer? What do we want the sponsor experience to be like?
Yeah.
And, you know, you really want to be intentional about sponsors so that they are, so that there's a fit, like there is a value and there it is in line with their message with, you know, whether it's 40 Under 40 or Business Woman of the Year or, you know, our fastest growing companies. Like we kind of really doubled down and rethought how we wanted our event experiences to be so that they were just really high quality, highly produced and intentional about recognizing the best and brightest of what's going on in our community.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're never going to be the cheapest when it comes to sponsorships or, you know, I think, and I was telling the folks before the podcast, like, we don't want it really to be a sea of logos. We want everybody to know who our sponsor is and who's supporting this event. And we want to make sure that we're making connections with our audience so that they are just embedded with that event and almost synonymous with it, right?
Yeah, you know, in the nonprofit sector, we're really bad about that, the CEO logos,
sure.
right?
Yeah,
and it's like the more sponsors, the better. It's more money. But it's this whole experience with you all has made me as a nonprofit CEO look at it different.
Yeah.
Because you do want to make sure that sponsors have an amazing experience. There's got to be an ROI to them. They're, although they're doing something to lift up the community and lift up the people being served, at the same time, you do have to make sure there's value in it, right?
Activation,
yeah.
right? Sponsor activation. And I think, well, I mean, I'll tell you, if light bulbs went off at our event for you, I mean, your golf tournament, light bulbs are going off for me. I mean, some of the best activations I've ever seen were with your sponsors. So, I mean, it is a fine line. So
yeah.
there needs to be, you know, marketing directors have stakeholders and they have to get approvals from CEOs, and you have to basically approach this as a business decision that delivers ROI.
Yeah,
and, you know, if we do our job really well, then we're at 100% renewal. Yes, that was the best experience we've ever had. We've generated more partnerships and clients because of this sponsorship. So, of course, we'll do it again. And and with us, it's always been fewer, more engaged sponsors than more.
Sure, sure.
It's also easier.
Well, the ROI, and again, as you know, looking at it from a sponsor standpoint, it was well worth it. It exceeded, I think, our expectations. You know,
you're
obviously,
on the record now. This is on the record.
And that's why I'm saying that, because I think it's important for you all to be able to share that from folks that invest in you all and you know, commit to that sponsorship. I mean, for us, there was such value there. When you look at the 40 under 40, we got 40 new friends now, right? That have gotten plugged into Habitat, and that was really kind of the big component that we liked was. Yeah, it's fun doing the dinner. It's fun getting connected with everyone. But being able to bring all the honorees out to work on a couple Habitat homes and put a little bit more purpose behind and to highlight them in that way was really fun.
It was, and powerful friends, right?
Yeah,
like it's like one of those where when I always talk about, I mean, 40 under 40, it's always kind of held a place in my heart, because I think, you are a young executive and there's unique challenges to being, kind of a on a fast, steep trajectory to success when you're young. And I would read through some of the accomplishments that these folks are doing. I mean, they are leaders, and to have them engaged, and whether there are existing relationships, Bobby Colon over at Raymond James, I mean, these are folks that are engaged, but then they get deeper engagement and to have them, be a part of Habitat. And I mean, it couldn't have been better. I think, and I was telling the folks before the podcast, there's nothing like a build day.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's fun.
For folks that are highly motivated and, they're just overachievers. It's the most efficient, high impact use of time where you're getting things done. You're accomplishing tasks, you're working together, and there's not a lot of standing. It's very well organized, and you feel really good after.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm just like, this is perfect. So if we can expose this group to this cause, which is also a cause that is critical to the business community.
It's at the highest awareness that it's ever been, right? I mean, affordable housing is part of every conversation right now.
I have, and I joke about this with you. Sometimes I wonder if you're just kind of, you've been singing this from the mountaintops forever, right?
Yeah.
So this is not a new song
for
Mike Sutton and Habitat. But it always seemed from the business community, it always seemed more arm's length away.
Yeah.
You know, it was, folks that, were down on their luck, or it was affordable housing, and then it was kind of rebranded to workforce housing.
Workforce, yep.
And now it's housing.
Housing. Yeah.
This is like, you can do all the right things, and you can be, have a career, and affordability in this market has become very, very challenging. So I think it's hit employers.
Yep.
And it's I think it is hitting employers of all shapes and sizes. So I think it's one of those, I'm really glad that this is, it is at its highest awareness that it ever has been. and it needs to continue.
Well, it's funny. I was reading another publication the other day, and it, not based here, but they were talking about, you know, the title was "We're in a Crisis," you know, and it's like, no kidding. You know, I wanted to, you know, to your point, I wanted to say, I've been talking about this for, you know, 9 years at this Habitat
like
affiliate.
Being chased by a turtle, you know, it's like kind of like this is, yes, it is, this is a crisis, and it has reached our backyards. Yeah.
We had a home dedication yesterday. The woman who purchased the home, single mom, mm-hmm. has a little boy, got a 2-bedroom, 2-bath home through us, preschool teacher, mm-hmm. You know, and her mortgage payment with taxes and insurance will be right around $1,000 a month. And she was at a place where she was so priced out, mm-hmm. You know, and you have kids,
yep.
you know, if you don't have preschool teachers for your kids, we're in dire need of folks that are working in specific fields that are leaving our community because they can't afford to live here anymore.
They're leaving our community. They're leaving the teacher. I mean, they're leaving the profession.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's a.
It's interesting you say that, and I don't mean to cut you off, but when we post a position at Habitat, the amount of teachers applying for jobs is astronomical, which is concerning.
It's funny how the thread kind of all kind of comes back together. But I mean, so you were. Gosh, the first, I think, with setting your minimum wage, really raising your minimum wage, right? And this was always kind of a, you know, that you saw the banks do it where they would raise their minimum wage.
Yep.
And I think in the nonprofit community, it wasn't a thing. And you did that. You raised your minimum wage before anybody else. And it was, you know, this is what Alexis Milner, our editor-in-chief at the Business Journal, he and I would talk about this at length. And it's, what are the kind of repercussions of that towards, you know, if, you know, you have teachers now that are leaving the profession, they want to teach, but you know what, they're going to go and, you know, they'll work at Boys and Girls Club, or they'll go be, you know, work at Bank of America.
Yeah.
They'll leave because it's a wage issue. So it's, these are big
challenges
that our community's facing. But I think that, you know, just tying it back to 40 under 40, I mean, these are folks, like, if we were taking this on and we've got these folks that are really kind of engaging with it, they're going to be around for 40 years.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a, I think to have them rolling up their sleeves and also really tackling it, it's been a great partnership.
Yeah.
And it's, I know for them, you know, we've gotten great feedback just from the honorees themselves, and it's been really special.
There were a couple ahas that came out of the whole process, right? So I got to spend the whole day over at your office one day, and we were literally chatting with each person as they came by to do their photo shoot and stuff. And a couple things that popped out to me were, number one, we have a lot of people moving back here after school, which was not always the case. I know for me, you know, I went to USF and I stayed local for college. All my friends left and they never came back. And we're seeing people now that are leaving for college and coming back, which is a huge, huge plus for our region, right?
Yeah.
The other thing was, when we were looking at some of these resumes, and I felt like a scrub. Like, I'm like, man, I'm glad I got it back in 2009 when the bar was low. Because some of the stuff that these folks have accomplished, the boards they sit in or they sit on, the responsibilities they have at their workplace. We have one gentleman who I think had 400 or 500 employees that he oversaw. I mean, like it pretty phenomenal group of people.
$700 billion budgets across, you know, 3 continents. Like, I mean, this is really largest cancer center in Florida, CEO.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a lot of folks. I mean, same reading through.
Yeah.
I think over 600 nominations come through. It is, it's a lot of reading. It's the most inspiring, like the future is bright type content that you could sit there and read. There are incredible individuals in our community doing great things, but the bar's high and the bar's gotten higher. And you know, it is, it's been really, but to back to your point, the folks that have moved here from other markets, from DC, Dallas, from New York, from Miami, some that were here and they're coming back.
Yeah.
Some, I'm one of those. I was here, you know, left, and then came back, and then some that they were looking to move here. It's just brain drain doesn't seem I think it was one of those where it was a buzzword for a while. But I know a lot of folks moving here, and this class certainly represents that.
One last question I want to ask you about the 4840. And I asked you this when we were at your office a couple months back, but I know the letters, right? Recommendation letters stick out. That can help you really support an application. So I asked you this, and a couple of unique ones, like what are some of the fun letters that you've seen, you know, people that stick out or maybe even companies or what have you?
I don't want to call anybody out and get tagged on Twitter. So Alex Rodriguez wrote, you know, one came from Alex Rodriguez's foundation. So that was pretty cool. Governors, public, senators, governors, university presidents, hedge fund, you know, hedge fund, former hedge fund operators and now sports team owners. The letters of recommendation carry weight. And I think that there's just it's incredible. I mean, it is. It's like just kind of awe-striking where you're reading these and you're watching these letters come in, and it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I was I ran into Lauren Hartman from USF at the USF UCF game, which we won't talk about, but ran into her on the sideline prior to the game, and we were joking about that component. And Rhea Law walked by and Will Weatherford walked by, and she's like, I had them write me letters. And I'm like,
I didn't want to call them out by name, but
pretty impressive, you know? It's, so,
I mean, I think probably some of the folks, some of these folks, I think of, you know, like Robin Rourke at McKinsey, you'll see, who else we've got, you know, Sean Fetcho over at Versailles, like some of these that I hadn't met before and they're busy working. They are, you know, focused on global issues.
Building their company.
Or they're, you know, they're overseeing operations that span the country or multiple countries. And they're, you know, they're not out at cocktail hours and things. So I think the number of new folks that are here, highly influential, but are looking to be engaged in their backyards, but maybe there wasn't a focus there. I think that's what it was kind of eye-opening for me.
Well, I think, you know, hopefully this was kind of a little bit of a catalyst to engage them further. You know, they get some recognition through the Business Journal. They're getting engaged through Habitat. And, you know, I know selfishly from our perspective, you know, I hope a few of these folks are future board members and donors and people that get plugged into our mission.
That's the goal. Right? Yeah. That's what we kind of set out. I mean, they're community minded. They're going to be elected officials and lobbyists, and these are friends in high places that are doing great things. So it's, I couldn't have asked for a better partnership with Habitat. And
awesome.
It's been a lot of fun for sure.
Well, look forward to doing it again next year.
Yeah.
As we wrap up, let's talk a little bit, talk about Ian.
Sure.
So, wife, kids, and all that stuff. I know you guys came back here. A couple years ago. What do y'all do in your free time? What do y'all do? To also get out of the community, right? Because everywhere you go, you know everybody. So I'm sure there has to be that disconnect as well.
So it's funny. I mean, the worlds collide, right? But I just celebrated 11 years with my wife, Nicolette. And so 8 weeks before our wedding, I took the job to go run our Albuquerque, New Mexico Business Journal. She moved their site.
Did she know that was coming?
So we were coming home from our cake tasting and, you know, honey, you know, I said I want to be a publisher someday. She said, yeah, and you can do it. I'm like, well, Monday. How about Monday? Wow. And we went, and that was like the start of our journey together. Our daughter was born in New Mexico. And then from there, went to our corporate headquarters up in Charlotte.
That's
where our son was born. And I worked with it was corporate, so I worked with all 44 business journals. And then spent a lot of time on the road, but finally got the opportunity to come back here, which was always the goal, get back to Florida, get back to Tampa. And we got back here in 2018. But what do? I coach girls softball. My daughter is she'll be turning 9.
Okay.
And Florida's different than where I grew up, where you play a couple months out of the year. Here it's like year round.
Travel teams.
It's like Cobra Kai. Like they roll up with custom bat bags.
Oh, yeah. And, oh, yeah.
You know, you've got 9-year-old boys snapping off curveballs. And it's crazy. It is down here. But and my son, he plays. T-ball and, okay. and but we're yeah we're up in Keystone.
So they're both at the ages where you don't have the angry parents yet coming at you.
Couple
more years.
Like coaches are having fun, the parents are having fun. Nobody's talking about where their kids should what position they should play.
Okay,
I think it's next year. Like I'm starting like towards the coming. End. I was like it's starting coming. To feel you yeah. know they're like you know she's really good at first base. I'm like oh no.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll figure it out. But I've managed, classroom management, right? It's just kind of multiple stakeholders I think we can keep happy.
So are you coaching both teams?
No. The boys, they're insane. Like really? Those little, like 6-year-old, 7-year-old boys. Yeah, yeah. It's, you're
sitting down in the outfield, looking at
them. They're like sword fighting with backs in the dugout and like climbing up the gate. I enjoy watching. It's highly entertaining. But the girls, it's like very uplifting and positive and a lot of cheers and chants and totally wild, but it's,
You ever been to any college, women's college games?
So I started watching, started watching USF. So, I mean, USF, great college program, obviously, at the Olympics. So that's when my daughter and I really started kind of watching the Olympic team.
The atmosphere, like the engagement of the players, the way, I mean, it's amazing.
Yes.
They're on the seat of their dugout, like the entire game. They're fired up. They're cheering for each other.
It's really positive. So, we're at the beginning of that sport, like kind of headed into that sports tunnel now. And, I think it seems, and this isn't just a Florida thing, but it's probably just the nature of where we are in the world. But it's like, kids kind of feel pressure to kind of choose a sport and really commit to it. But we're kind of exploring all the different stuff and just trying to just have them, like, my goal as a coach is 100% renewal. Like, want them to come back. Like, do they want to play next season?
Yeah.
And then if they do that, then I did my job.
Awesome. So, awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Favorite place you guys go to get away?
Where do we go? We kind of keep weekends sacred. Like, because in our just community-facing roles, it's like Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
It's, we're going to be out everywhere.
Yeah.
So Sacred Pepper up on Northdale Mabry. It's great for people watching. Great spot. We love going up there. I would say as far as going, we love Asheville. We go to Asheville a couple times. We like to go up there around Christmas. But, you can find me on the weekend, like in my backyard or we're on a lake. So I'm teaching Lachlan, my son, to fish. So, just kind of really just unplugged.
Disconnect a little bit. Yeah, recharge. Yeah.
No suit. Usually just hat, jeans, t-shirt, and that's it.
I've never seen you without a sport coat on.
I know.
So,
I
could see you out there fishing with your sport coat on.
You see my kindergarten picture. It's like suit. It's basically me, except I'm little.
That's awesome.
I was born in this.
That's awesome. That's cool. Well, Ian, thank you for everything that you do for our community, getting the word out about great work being done in the business community, the nonprofit sector, all that. And we appreciate the partnership.
We appreciate the partnership, but appreciate, more than ever, just the work that you're doing. And I don't think enough people know just how much, the largest habitat chain in the country, the most builds.
Based on new home construction last year.
Yep.
Yeah, we were. We built 67 homes last year. Yep. Collier County, our good friends down in Collier County, which have historically been the large affiliate, built 66.
So, okay.
I got a call from their CEO June 30th of last year, and she said, well, you guys got us by one.
So the amount of impact that you guys have, especially, the nonprofit community, typically it's, we're a business publication. We're not all things to all people. And there's a lot of stories that we're not writing, but this is economic development. This is growth. This is tied to business leaders. And the work you're doing is certainly, it's critical to the growth of our city.
So, well, we appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. All right, so another episode of the Habitcast.
Yep.
This is
also known as the Chris Cast.
The Chris Cast. Yeah. We in honor of of Chris Trillo, who puts this whole thing together and pushes it out for us. But this has been fun. The Habitcast, we've been going for a couple years now, and like I mentioned to Ian, all of results of COVID. Right.
Absolutely.
And how do we stay plugged in? How do we stay connected?
Telling the story. I mean, we were looking around at so many other organizations and folks who had podcasts, and we said, why not Habitat?
And we added the video component.
Yeah.
Right. Cool. So, which some people probably wish that they could just listen to me. Well, actually, they probably don't want to do that either. But anyway, but
play across all the concerts.
What are you doing for the holidays? Anything fun?
So I'm actually
Christmas
going to
is
be
coming
doing
up.
Some traveling, but definitely lots of time with family, friends. I'm excited to really spend that time to recharge and really catch up with family.
Fun.
How about you?
It's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
You know, we'll close down for a little bit, give everybody some time to recharge, mm-hmm. rest, relax. But yeah, just, you know, it's always a good time to, but I'll tell you, I am so looking forward to 2023.
Me too.
2022 has probably been the worst year of my life.
Really?
That was pretty depressing, wasn't
depressing.
It?
That
was super
depressing. I feel like we
depressing.
Talked about that with 2021.
I feel like
it's been a bad couple of years for a lot of people.
For
really.
And I don't mean that. I'm not trying to say that in like a, oh, poor Mike. It's just been a rough year.
It's been
rough year. Just in weird ways. You know, I'm still dealing with a lot of the COVID stuff and health stuff. And it's hard to run a business in today's environment with inflation. You know, the biggest thing that keeps me up at night is inflation in our staff and making sure that we're taking care of everybody.
Sure.
And so anyway, we can, you know, but anyway, I'm looking forward to turning the corner into 2023.
Absolutely. Especially,
there's something symbolic about being able to start a new year.
Oh yeah. Fresh slate.
Yeah.
And this is coming right off the heels of us being recognized as the number one affiliate. Out of the network.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. You know, Ian brought that up.
Did he?
In our talk. We, you know, our good friends down in Collier County for who knows how long, maybe 15 years or so, have been the largest affiliate in the country based on new homes.
Mm-hmm.
And we beat them by one this past year. But, you know, and we talk a lot about, you know, from a business perspective, you have to look at metrics and things that drive a company. But on the flip side, you know, the most impressive piece about that is 67 homeowners became you know, like talk about mission impact and changing lives. 67 families. That's huge.
Right before the holidays that they're going to be spending, and some of them already have a Thanksgiving or birthdays, graduations have already been spent in that new safe and affordable home that they didn't have before.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Pretty neat. Pretty neat. So, well, with the holidays coming up, you know, we hope everyone, who's tuning in, enjoys the holidays.
Absolutely.
I hope you look forward to 2023 as much as I do. But we really do appreciate everyone listening, taking the time to do that. We want to thank our broadcast partners, RadioSt.Pete.com. And our good friends at Sunshine Radio 96.7. We also want to thank our friends at The Catalyst who always push out our Habitcast. You can always watch previous episodes on our website, on our YouTube page. If you really want to dig through our Facebook, you can find them on there as well.
We're also on all your favorite podcast platforms.
Oh.
So if you're actually just tuning in on Facebook or on YouTube, that's awesome. You get to see our lovely faces, but on Spotify, you can follow and subscribe to Habitat's channel and make sure that you get to tune in on those. Apple Music and several other platforms.
Look at that. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
6 out of 7 continents. We always joke about that. Thank you for tuning in and go make it a great day.